Let's see. Let's see what Olympic themes are available. Olympic theme, John Williams, huh?
Hey, there you go.
Olympic anthem, 2012. I want like a 1970 something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
1984 comes in right away when I put in 19, so maybe that means it's amazing.
Okay.
Let's see.
Got to get through the ads and...
No, I have to activate Flash because my computer is broken.
Oh, my God.
That's how broken my computer is. I cannot play a YouTube video without activating Flash first. John Williams conducts during... Okay, here we go. Welcome to Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2. Today's brave competitor, our second entry.
That's right.
Is Ian.
Hello. Hi,
Ian. As faithful listeners will know, we just recently had, well, several months ago, we had Helpful Snowball Entry Part 1 for 2013.
Yeah.
Just for the record, it is...
We have
December 27th of 2014.
There are 4 days left in 2014, and we're not quite through Helpful Snowball 2013 just yet.
Not yet. But now we have our second entry, so I'm feeling very confident. And let's just, I'm going to just remind everyone. Well, first I want to lay over this. I'm going to try and do a little remix.
Okay.
Now, usually I don't do this.
You're going to try to remix on the fly?
Nah, usually I don't do this, but go ahead on, break them off with a little previews of the remix. Now I'm not trying to be rude, but hey, pretty girl, I'm feeling
I don't know, I think it sounds okay.
There's nothing that you can really put this beat under that would sound bad.
I was trying to convince my girlfriend as we were driving around. So we drove around and looked at Christmas lights.
Right.
I love this song. It just makes me happy. So we were going to drive around and look at Christmas stuff. And she was like, hey, what Christmas songs do you like? And I was like, I only really like one Christmas song. And she's like, well, which Christmas song is it, you know? And she's like, let me guess. And she guessed a couple things. And I was like, no. I like one Christmas song.
Nah, usually I don't do this, but go ahead on, break them off with a little previews of the remix.
Now, how did you explain to her that this was a Christmas song?
Well, here's what I did.
Yeah.
I demanded this song, and then I looked up, I said, you know, R. Kelly remix to Ignition Christmas version.
Right.
So I was like, maybe someone's ad like, jing, jing, beep, beep. And then right. I was like, maybe someone did something. So it turned out a couple guys played an acoustic guitar and fumbled their way through a real horrible Christmas remix.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did like this part. I got Santa on my left, Frosty on the right. And so because someone created that, I decided retroactively that this was a Christmas song.
Mm.
So there you go.
So someone did like a holiday themed lyric swap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so because someone had managed to do that with this song, I decided it was now a Christmas song. The original.
Right. It goes back.
Yeah.
So in the way that Lucero actually wrote the theme song for the show.
Right. Yeah, because that's what it's best known for now.
Yes.
So for those of you who don't know, Helpful Snowball 2013 was our fan contest.
Uh-huh.
Now, I hadn't really thought this through, the smarts of having a fan contest when you have like four fans.
It seems like, well, half of your fans entered, so.
Yeah, I mean,
of, you're doing all right.
Of the number of fans I have, a high percentage will have participated. So that's a good thing.
I'd like to say that even if I don't win, which I will win, I'll still beat Darren Roberts and Alex Dumbaugh.
Yep.
They'll be destroyed.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, because as far as I know, they're not going to... Oh, I just lost my internet.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they aren't going to enter, and they only have a few more days.
Yeah. you've extended the deadline of 2013 a year.
Yes,
so
1 year.
So I think it's more than fair.
I decided that Helpful Snowball 2013 would officially end on midnight January 31st, although allegedly we'll be doing some podcasting with Nicanor this weekend.
Ooh.
Or this week, right around New Year's. So it's possible he may get in an entry, although what it will be like with no preparation is hard to say.
Well, Nicanor is an interesting character because he's part of our video game club, which for those of you who listen, it's like a book club, but for video games. And he's one of the people who shows up every meeting having not played any of it.
Also drunk.
And extremely drunk. Never like buzzed or had a few drinks, just almost incoherent. I wouldn't say incoherently drunk.
Yeah.
But very drunk.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So there's two ways we could do this, I guess. We could go through these one by one, or I could just kind of outline the categories.
Sure.
And then we can go through your content, and we can go in whatever order you like.
Let's go through the categories to remind the listeners what competitions we have in this pentathlon of snowball events.
So first event is original song. Your task is to create an original song. It can be a theme song, a commercial, a remix, or just a song that you feel applies.
Yes.
So, you know, now normally I don't do this, but I'll break them off a little remix. But I'm about to take my key. So that's an easy one. And you've actually already done an original song.
I have.
Our theme song.
I feel like I'm going to double entry because we have, well, there's not a lot of entries in this contest, so I feel like I've got a good shot.
Okay.
At this one, of at least getting both the silver and bronze medal.
So you're entering your theme song in another song?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we'll play those.
Yep.
Number two is a commercial, because someone asked me how I'm going to monetize this show, or this bitch, I guess is what they said.
Yep.
And I don't know, but then I had an idea. So your task was to bring an advertisement that we'll read or play on the show, and it must earn the show some money. Any amount is acceptable. No business is too small or too awful or too illegal.
Okay.
Number three is a recommendation. As you sit at the table, we will hook up your phone and you will phone a friend or acquaintance or enemy and pitch Helpful Snowman Radio to this person live on the air. This needs to be someone who has no idea that this is going to happen.
And it has to be someone who doesn't listen to the show currently.
Correct.
Okay.
Because it has to be pitched to them.
Got it.
So, I mean, it's probably all right if they've heard a snippet. I don't know, you know, on NPR or something.
Yeah.
Maybe after Car Talk.
So you can't have someone who's already a fan of the show.
No, I don't think that counts.
Okay.
When I say pitch, that means a new thing, right?
A new thing, yeah.
Four is dramatic reading of a Helpful Snowman post. So it's digging up an old post.
Mm-hmm.
And five is a topic. You'll need to bring a topic, a story, or something that needs to be covered by our show.
Right.
You don't need to decide how it's covered or what needs to be said. Just bring something that you feel would make for a good discussion, aka yelling session.
Okay.
So that's all of the things. So there are five things in this Brave competition. And which of these would you like to start with, do you think?
I think that I would probably like to start off with the song.
Okay. So we'll start with a song. Would you like to start with your OG song, your theme song, or your new song?
I think I want to start off with the classic.
Okay. So hang on just a second. Got to get away from my Ignition remix here.
That's a really hard thing for you to do, is it? Isn't it?
It is kind of hard.
You just want to have one phone that has the Ignition remix on at all times?
I'm not trying to be rude. Okay. So this is the original theme song, which actually I haven't played for quite a while.
Yeah, this is...
But it does show on my computer that it has been played 130 times. So that's a pretty solid number of times, because I think we're somewhere in the 210s of episodes. And So the majority of episodes have featured this song.
Yeah, I think that there's a sizable majority of episodes back in the archive. And where could they find that archive?
HelpfulSnowman.com/a bunch of shit.
Right.
Because I did not optimize my links. Bad SEO.
Just click on the archive button once you get to the website.
Click on the radio button.
Oh, the radio button.
You know, it's pretty easy to find there. I need to do some dusting.
Yeah.
Get rid of some shit. But it's all there.
Are you going to put some episodes behind a paywall?
I don't know how to.
Ah.
Is the problem. I guess I could. You know, I considered, like, I could put the best of up on iTunes as a paid thing. But then I thought, why? Why bother?
Why?
Like, I'm not, no one's going to listen. That'll just make me sad. I mean, I've sold books on Amazon and sold like 10 total. So really, what are the odds anyone's going to buy this?
You don't want to put it up there, put it on sale, and then find no one buys it.
Yeah, that would just hurt. Although I guess I could just never look. People ask me how many people download this. I have no idea. I literally do not know, nor am I entirely sure how to find out. Like, I don't. iTunes sends me the occasional, like, podcaster email update, like,
right,
of changing terms or something. I know nothing about what they're telling me.
And that's only assuming that people get this through through iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just listening to it on their computer or streaming it.
Do people do that, do you think?
I think that there's got to be some people who do that. I do that occasionally.
Yeah. Okay.
Like where I'm at work, I just put it on,
you know,
put it in another tab. And
I guess I do that with other shows, like the ones that I'm only half listening to. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty good half listen show, I think.
I think that comes up. Sometimes it feels like there's a half listen and then there's a full listen once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. So this is your original theme song.
The classic song.
I show the original date added to my iTunes as being the first day of 2012.
Yeah.
So this is almost exactly 2 years old, or 3 years old, mm-hmm, at this point. That's pretty great.
It is.
All right, here we go.
Life's not like flat, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to a pole, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it,
But this is the thing why I feel like this is a strong entry,
yeah,
in the Helpful Snow Bowl. Because I heard, and I'll admit, One Shit More is very good.
Yeah.
Those of you who would like to go back and listen to it, it's probably somewhere in the radio archives.
I think I could probably figure out which number it was.
But. Yeah. But here's the thing. I can put the score to you of that song versus my classic in one way.
Okay.
It's 139-140-1.
Yeah.
It's been played on this show 140 times.
Yeah.
The other one's been played once.
Yeah, to just tick over to 140.
Yeah, so there you go. I'm going to say that 140 is a lot more than one. So I think that gives the classic a bit of a head start.
I see what you're saying. I'm not going to disagree with that. Yeah, to be also fair, my Helpful Snowman theme, Crossroads, is also played once.
Yeah.
Well, here's another thing that's important to know. iTunes only counts it as a play if it plays all the way through.
Ah,
so it's actually probably played far more than 130 if I didn't actually play it the entire way through.
That if you stopped it to do something else or to cut in for another song.
Yes.
Then so it could be higher, but what's on the board is 140.
This is true. This is a significant contribution to canon.
Yeah.
I will say that.
It's not as if One Shit More didn't become the theme song.
Yeah.
It was on one episode, and then it was gone.
I like the trash talk.
Yeah. So
we all know how I feel about that.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say the classic theme song's got a real good head start.
All right. All right. Excuse me.
But, you know,
are you ready for your new song?
Oh, yeah. Since okay. I feel like I was solid on in the song category, but some of my other categories might be a little weaker, so.
Now, do you want to tell us about the song, or should we play it and then?
I think it'll be a good treat for the deep fans of the show, the long-term fans of the show, where it goes way back.
Okay.
Even to the time, the origin times.
Now I've got the title of this as Helpful Snowball Entry 2.
Yeah.
Do you have a song title or or would you like the BS come up with one?
I think that's something the fans should write in.
Okay.
The other two fans that are in this competition. What they think it should be called? Yeah, what they think it should be called.
All right. So here is the second entry. Brand new song. This is a full-length song as well. And here we go.
I just can't get myself straight. If you hear me, you can relate. Yahoo can't help me cause it doesn't know. But we all have the place to go. Helpful snowman, help us out. No, 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 no. Oh, no, help, 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 help me now. Oh, helpful snowman, help us out. No, 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 better. Help, 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 help me now. Oh,
ay, 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 ay. Audio mixing can fix that.
You say you'll play Roseanne, but you don't even know. You want just one shit more, and you gave us one. When I make a song, I'm fucking badass. Come at me once, and I'll hit you twice. Helpful snowman, help us out. No, 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 no. Help, 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 help me now. Oh, oh, whoa, whoa, oh, help us out. No, 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 better. Help, 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 help me now.
I really want to get to the big part right away.
Helpful snowman, help us out. What home did this? Help me with my pool. Oh, my home did this? Help me with my pool. And Alex. Your boss is there. And Alex. Helpful snowman, help us out. No, 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 no. Help, 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 help us now. By ending this song. But you can't cause you're pussy. Hey, hey, what are you doing? Stop it. You're fading me out. No.
Very nice.
I think that's worth going through the history. Thank you. The polite applause.
So that is your newest creation.
That is my newest creation where the cardboard tube I used for the classic song was gone.
Okay.
And so
gone was the cardboard tube, your favorite musical instrument.
Right, the vocal effect.
Yeah.
That's pretty critical.
So we should just talk about, brought you to select this song?
Well,
let's start there.
I think this goes back to...
That's the Talking Heads, yes. Psycho Killer.
Yes. The Talking Heads, Psycho Killer was the song that we used to play a lot with Guitar Hero or Rock Band. I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah.
And I used to pick it every time.
Yeah.
And every time I picked it, some of your friends had no idea the song existed.
Yeah.
And then they thought at first I was really drunk or I was just making it up.
Yeah.
Like they thought I was completely improvising or goofing around or totally wasted. And then they heard the actual song and they're like, no, that's actually what it is.
This is what the song actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it is, there's a bunch of like nonsense or French.
Right.
And like, just, you know, it doesn't really make sense.
No.
And fa 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 fa. Like that's what it actually are, the words.
Right. It's a song that I learned is about Norman Bates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Norman Bates real?
I don't...
I feel like such an idiot that I just asked that.
I don't know. I think he's based on... No, he's based on Ed Gein. I know that.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think so.
I heard someone once say, do you know the Foreigner song Head Games?
Yeah.
That they like to sing that song but replace Head Games with Ed Gein? Ed Gein!
I wonder how many people at shows realize that. Like, if they just go, Ed Gein!
I don't know if anyone does it except for me and whoever the fuck this guy was. But now...
Now two other people. Two other people,
So you picked that song because it's got a rich history.
Yeah, I am a fan of that song. And I think what's strange about it, and maybe since you're not a big fan of the song...
Yeah.
Is that it has a really good instrumental part.
It's got a nice... I'll give it this. Right. I like the bass groove. Mm-hmm. That's pretty undeniable. Even the little dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you know. I think the music is good. I'll go that far.
That the... Because I got the instrumental version to make this song.
Yeah.
Just, where it's just with the lyrics taken out. And it sounds so much less strange.
It sounds really weird. I have problems listening to a song like that in a world that has a song like this.
Nah, usually I don't do this, but
I mean, this song exists. What else do we need? Now,
I'm not trying to be rude, all music is either commentary on Ignition or contrary to Ignition.
Yeah.
Really.
Exactly. It either complements or...
Contradicts
Ignition. And that's how I decide whether it's good or not.
Right.
Tag team is Womp, there it is. Compliments.
It does.
From the past. From before.
So what is... So here's the tough one for you, Peter. Remix or Crossroads?
Oh.
See you at the Crossroads.
Well, okay. Crossroads, I like. It's funnier.
Right.
It's definitely funnier. But here's the thing. Like, Remix to Ignition is more of a party song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I noticed, okay, we went out the other night and at the bar and, you know, there's a jukebox. So, of course, what gets loaded on there in a country line dancing bar? R. Kelly's Remix to Ignition and Bone Thugs and Harmony's Crossroads.
Uh-huh.
And Crossroads brings it down a little.
Crossroads is one of those songs that it feels like you play for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
Like to expose people to it. And then it goes away. But for me, I still associate Crossroads too strongly with the weird video with a dead baby in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone's dying.
I mean...
Don't forget my Uncle Charles. Yeah.
I get when there's, like, the old people dying or, like, people dying in car crashes, but the end of the video has a dead baby.
I know.
You know? Like, no one really...
This black angel of death takes a baby, and it's like, I think we're watching a baby die.
Yeah, it's like,
what's happening.
There's a dead baby here.
This is real, and it's happening.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think Remix to Ignition is a more... I think when people hear that song, they also know it. Like,
right.
I think Crossroads is less known, so it's very fun, that moment of recognition in people's eyes.
It was...
Because it's, like, instantly recognizable.
It applies to more contexts.
Yeah.
And that's really helps a song get recognized, where it applies to lots of different places or different situations.
Yeah. Crossroads is also about 40 seconds longer, which is just a little too long.
It's the kind of thing that if you're in a jukebox, though, and you want to maximize your time on the jukebox, then you pick it.
Oh, I would never not pick it.
Right.
I would never let that stop me.
You would spend the extra quarter to get three plays or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think the Ignition remix, the thing is, like, Crossroads is easier to dislike hearing it on a jukebox. Ignition Remix, I think everybody hears it and ends up liking it despite themselves. This is a man who peed on a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
You're just like...
people will say that and I'm like, yeah, but listen to the song. Think about it this way. Shut up. I'm trying to listen to Ignition Remix.
I guess that's the thing, is that there's nothing, and part of it is when he goes on trial or whatever else, you never hear about the idea of being traumatized or anything else. And I don't know. Like, part of me goes with the Boondocks defense of, like, if someone doesn't want to get peed on, they usually kind of move out of the way.
Well, and actually, I think that the case got thrown out.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. This is a little like, I feel like I'm in this horrible position in life somehow where I'm defending these men.
Right.
Like, people talk about Pee Wee Herman all the time. And they're like, isn't he a pedophile? And I'm like, no.
No.
No. He was jacking off in a porno theater. Now, I know you think that's gross, but that's what you do in a porno theater. That is why it's there. Everyone in there was jacking off. And that's inappropriate. Okay. I know people aren't supposed to jack off in public.
Right.
I feel like a porno theater is not public. You have to be 18 to get in there.
There seems to be like a little bit of entrapment there too. Like,
yeah.
There's no one who goes.
Why is a cop in a porno theater waiting to see if people jack off?
Right. It seems like no one is going to watch a porno, sit down and try to put it all in the spank bank.
Yeah.
Right away. And I think today it seems a little bit strange because I think the concept of a porno theater seems strange.
Yeah. Why would you even do that?
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, when people talk about Pee-wee and they're like, you know, oh, he's a pedophile. I'm like, there is a world of difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're both sex crimes, and I know that, like, it seems unsavory, I guess, for, like, an adult to do that. But honestly, how unsavory is it for someone to jack off in a porno theater? I bet if you surveyed men, 7 out of 10, totally anonymous,
right,
and they said, have you ever done anything more sexually deviant than jack off in a porno theater? 7 out of 10 would say yes.
I think I would say 7 out of 10 would say yes.
Yeah.
2 out of 10 are lying.
Right.
And 1 out of 10 probably hasn't.
Yeah.
Like,
or I would say even more deviant or equivalent.
Yeah.
I mean, jacked off somewhere, not in your house.
Well, where's the strangest place you jacked off? Aside from that ferry boat.
That's probably it.
Probably it.
I'm trying to think if there's ever been a weirder one. I mean, I jacked off in our grandma's house.
Yeah, I did the same thing. That feels really weird.
It feels weird. I mean, really, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, when you're that age and you're on a vacation and you're not going to be home for like 5 days, mm-hmm, you just give up because you're like, oh, I'm not going to make it 5 days without jacking off. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'll have to walk with crutches because my balls will hurt too bad.
You're just like, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
I'll be unfocused.
So, I mean, that's probably worse in some level.
Right.
I think ferry boats probably the worst. You know, that's just a gross public. It's basically like a bathroom on a bus.
Yeah.
It's one step up because it's nautical, which mm-hmm seems, you know, to us landlubbers to have more mysticism and romance.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. It's the same shitty kind of bathroom where you're like, I hope no one can see my feet twitching while I come in this stall.
Right.
So, I mean, that's as bad, if not worse, than what Pee-wee did.
I would say so. I mean, I think there is a difference that you're in a bathroom, which is kind of a weird... But bathrooms are kind of strange in that they are private spaces in public spaces.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at least I was... I guess if he was jacking off in the bathroom of the porno theater.
Right.
But... Jesus, can you even imagine? What is the bathroom of a porno theater like?
Oh, God.
Is there just not a toilet or a urinal? It's just some third cum receptacle?
I would just, like, poop behind an alley. You know, like, I just go poop in the alley or, like...
Oh, I would not take a shit. I would shit my pants.
Yeah.
In a porno theater before I'd go take a shit in the bathroom.
Yeah.
The wall of the stall must just look like Swiss cheese from Glory Holes. It must just be more hole than it is wall.
Yeah, it's got to be just a lot of weird stuff that goes down in a bathroom of a porno theater. Or my other guess is that it actually, here's the thing, maybe it's counterintuitive. Maybe it's really pretty nice because no one wants to...
Because no one's in there.
No one's in there and no one wants to stick around in a porno theater.
Maybe.
Like people go in, they buy their ticket, they go, they jerk off and they leave.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really linger.
I think they probably jack off in the bathroom and then have some gay liaisons, you know, like on the down low.
Ah.
That would be my guess. So I would guess it's a real shit show.
But see, that's the thing. If like they're blowing each other, you know, that probably cleans itself up.
Yeah.
I mean.
I don't want to get into the blowjob logistics.
Blowjob logistics. Well,
regardless.
Yeah, it's probably not. I mean, it is like the when we were in Berlin, there was the Spooge booth attendant.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so it'd probably be pretty similar. Yeah, the jizz mopper.
Yep.
So it would be fairly similar if you were doing that in the porno theater.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what Pee Wee Herman did is not, it just seemed, I think a lot of it seems strange today when we don't have porno theaters anymore.
Sure.
People like, people probably watch a lot more pornography than they did in Pee Wee's time. Like just lot more by, you know, just a factor of a thousand.
I think people have seen probably, I think kids have probably seen more porno on accident on the average than the average adult would see.
Right.
You know what I mean? At that time. Anyway. And then R. Kelly, like, I don't know whether he did it or not, but the thing was thrown out of court.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but no one wants to talk about that. They just want to talk about, didn't he like pee on a 7-year-old? And it's like, I mean, sort of.
I think she was 12. But
yeah.
I mean, he also had sex with Aaliyah allegedly when she was a minor. So,
right.
I mean, he's got a, like, God, it's one of those things where it feels like the Serial podcast all over again.
I feel like I've also heard that he's 100% illiterate.
That's
so, like, I, not that that excuses a crime, but I'm just saying, like, I think he's got a lot of, like, I don't think, okay, is it wrong of me to think that someone who's illiterate probably has other weird shit going on and may not be as much of a manipulative saboteur?
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like if someone, and that's the thing where I find it strange when an adult is illiterate and is not, what if he's like Wesley Willis, but just,
yeah,
you know, very much better managed.
Yeah, I mean, he's just crazy.
Yeah.
He's just a crazy black guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's got some kind of something, just one switch in his brain has flipped the opposite.
Right.
So he's not a schizophrenic, obese, crazy person. He's like a put together, you know, song maker.
That's what I also wonder about. If he's 100% illiterate, how does he write a song?
I have no idea.
I mean, I imagine like he just kind of hums it in his head and memorizes it and everything else.
I guess so.
That
I
seems
mean,
like the way to do it.
I memorized it.
Sure. I guess that's the thing, is like a lot of his songs don't have a ton of lyrics to them and they sound like they could be made up. Like, honey's to my left, home is to my right.
Yeah, I mean,
then
it's
we're gonna drink
lyrically,
and we'll do it all night.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Lyrically, it's not the most complex. It's no Psycho Killer. Let's put it this way. Where, well, I guess that could be made up, although I don't think it was.
It seems like it would be very hard to just improvise and all of a sudden switch to a bilingual thing.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is that Psycho Killer could have been made by R. Kelly because it seems just crazy enough.
Yeah.
But probably not made by somebody who's ill. It'd be hard to be illiterate and bilingual.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to hear a lot of R. Kelly songs and be like, oh, this is like Nas. This is a whole story of New York at a time. You know what I mean? It's more like, I mean, it's fine. I like it. It's fun. But I don't feel like a changed man.
There's no lyrical depth.
No.
You know, like absolutely none.
Okay.
All right.
So that's category one.
Yes.
Are we ready for category two?
Category two.
Is that where you want to go? Commercial? Or we could do recommendation, dramatic reading, or topic.
I think that I would like to go with the, I think I'd like to go with the dramatic reading.
The dramatic reading will be your next event?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, the dramatic reading was the part where you pick a post from the website.
Yes.
And do a dramatic reading of said post.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us about what you picked, or you can just jump in.
Well, I picked a holiday-themed post.
Okay.
On the idea that I want my entry to be immortal.
Okay.
That the other entry was, you know, was of its time.
Okay.
But since I know that there's another holiday coming up after New Year's.
Uh-huh.
And you know what holiday that is?
Valentine's Day?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So I picked your Valentine's Day post on how to avoid the fight.
Okay.
Do you recall this one at all?
I don't remember. Do you have the date on it?
It was like right around, I want to say like February 12, 2013 or so.
2013.
It's right, like, before. And you might be reminded of this as soon as I start reading it.
Okay.
All right. So, are you ready?
I'm ready. Oh, God.
Welcome to Valentine's Day. I thought that for Valentine's Day, I would do something special and discuss what I find to be a common fight slash complaint couples have. Hopefully, you won't find this overly male, but the last time I checked, I was about 57% male. So, there's only so much I can do. Fight. I want him to want to do X.
Uh-huh.
Is this coming back to you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Total classic. Let's say the lady, who we'll be calling Kathy Ireland for the remainder of this post, wants her boyfriend, who we'll be calling Joey Lawrence for the remainder of this post, to take her somewhere special, like the nice Quiznos that's on the other side of town, but has a much cleaner floor and a cabinet in the bathroom where they keep the mop instead of just leaning it against the wall for you to stare at while you shit. Joey has agreed to take Kathy. However, this is not really doing anyone any good because she knows that Joey does not want to take her. He's only doing it because she wants him to. Therefore, he doesn't want to go, and to a certain extent, neither does she. And now we have the two characters. Kathy. I want to go, but I don't want, but I want him to want to go. Joey. I don't want to go, but I will because she wants to, except then she's mad because I don't want to. Okay. In this instance, both Kathy and Joey are complete idiot fuckheads, as are we all in this situation. Mm-hmm. Kathy is wrong, but Joey is also wrong. Allow me to explain. First, we'll talk to the Joeys and then to the Kathys. Joeys, I understand where you're coming from. You don't want to go there. You can picture yourself getting ready to go, and the whole thing sounds like misery. You consider driving off a bridge and ending it all, but after some Googling, you discover the nearest drivable bridge that's high up is about a good 4 hours away. So you tuck that little piece of knowledge away for a rainier day and move on. You're willing to go. Sort of. You're willing to go, but you feel compelled to tell Kathy that you don't want to go. To you, it feels like letting Kathy know that you don't want to do the Quiznos thing makes the act of doing it all the more admirable. You want to differentiate between doing something mutually enjoyable and doing something that only she will enjoy. Basically, you want double credit, not only because you are doing something with your girlfriend, it's something you don't want to do. The reality is that double credit doesn't exist. I know, it seems insane, but it's true. You need to learn to live with that plain old regular credit. No more extra credit bullshit questions at the end of the math test that I never got anyway because they involved words and numbers and giving a damn about what a farmer was up to in an afternoon. Fuck that guy. When Kathy says she wants to go to the nice Quiznos with you, she wants to do that with you. When she says she wants to do that with you and you say you don't want to do that, in her mind you're saying, I don't want to do that with you. These conversations go from let's to I. Let's go to the nice Quiznos. I don't want to. This is a long one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've cut Kathy Ireland right out of the equation just the way I cut her out of an ad for Necessary Roughness and taped her to the wall of my bedroom, which is still here, by the way.
Excellent.
Yep. You're being kind of a dickhead. It's like this. Imagine you're at a farewell concert for AC/DC. They're never playing again. They start rocking Hell's Bells, and you sing along. You're having a great night, but just as you're leaving, a stranger comes up to you and says, hey man, just so you know, it's kind of tradition not to sing along with Hell's Bells. What Admiral Fuckface just told you is completely worthless information. The concert's over, it will never happen again. Rather than correcting a behavior that needed to be corrected, all I did was make you feel like shit. He can't unhear you singing along with whatever insane voice you used to sing along with to AC/DC, you animal. So what's your AC/DC sing-along voice sound like?
Hell Bells!
That's right. Telling Kathy is the same deal. She still wants to go to the nice Quiznos. She still wants to spend a nice night with you. You've already committed to doing this, but you want her to know what a big deal it is. Joey, you either need to go or not go. If you don't go, you don't go. If you go, part of going is not being a dildo and saying you're... saving your hate of lettuce that goes through a fucking toaster, which is an abomination for something else. Is that coming back to you?
Yes. There used to be a Quiznos near my work.
Right.
And there were things that I loved about Quiznos and things that I hated about Quiznos, such as a mop leaning against the wall in the bathroom and that they put lettuce through a toaster.
That
what the fuck?
That never makes any
even
sense.
Even Subway doesn't do that.
I know.
Subway.
Subway has a thing on Guantanamo Bay and uses yoga mats in their bread.
If Subway does better than you, you are fucking up.
Exactly. Go or don't go.
I have two more things about this Quiznos. Mm-hmm. Number one, there was this guy there who looked to me like pissed off, drunken Super Mario.
Right.
He was a real asshole. And this place is closed, by the way, because fuck them. And I always suspected, because a lot of times I'd go into this one Quiznos, and it seemed like they had always burned a bunch of bread.
Right.
And I suspected that what he was doing was burning bread to drive people away, so that they would not stay and eat there, because your whole clothes would smell like bread. So I just thought he seemed so pissed off and like such a dick
right.
that maybe he was torching bread just to make people leave. Number two thing, one time I was in there, and the guy working was like real upset and was telling me about he didn't know where his boss was, that she went to go make a delivery and she'd been gone for 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, and this is not a good thing, like she just had surgery, she took the medication, she's not supposed to be driving, she did the same thing yesterday, and she said she had to pull over on the side of the road for a nap, and she pulled over like on a busy road, she was just in the right lane with her turn signal on and took like a 2 hour nap. So anyway,
all right.
Those are my Quiznos tales.
Awesome. So to keep momentum going, I'm going to skip to the Kathy section.
Oh, okay.
So just cutting a little bit out of my dramatic reading.
All right.
All right. All right. So now let's talk to the Kathys. I understand what you're asking for, and it's very reasonable. You want to do something enjoyable, and you want to do it with your partner, and it's your very reasonable hope that your partner isn't going to be a grump the whole time. You don't want to feel like you're dragging him through every phase of a simple night out. You feel like that the love you're both sharing should be enough to overcome the shittiness of any event and turn it into a positive, much like it is in going to those movies where a boat sinks or a volcano does stuff. Okay, I want to stop here for a second.
Okay.
I like how your references to film are like in 1997. This was written
what
in 2013.
What was before a volcano does stuff? An asteroid?
It's like it just like there's Titanic and there's sort of yeah. volcano like, you know, and Dante's
date movies.
Peak.
Titanic, Dante's Peak, and Volcano.
Like you haven't gone
probably,
to a date
probably, let's
movie.
Be honest, Dante's Peak. If I was going on a date, that's what
it's
I would go.
It's got Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah,
in.
It's got Pierce Brosnan. I'd hope that'd get the lady hot. Ladies like Pierce Brosnan, right?
He was a mediocre James Bond.
My girlfriend's mom is really into Pierce Brosnan. That's how up to date I am.
She loves Remington Steele.
I guess. Okay.
I like that. All right. So where was I?
Volcano does stuff.
It does stuff. And it is. And that's why he's going. But let's not forget, although the love conquers the volcano in the end, the hero dude usually gets a good burn at some point. And more than likely, his chubby friend in the backwards hat who is good at computers will die horrifically.
Mm.
You also feel like, after he told you that he didn't want it to go, telling him that you want him to want to is fair because you're both just expressing your feelings. The key here is cutting things off before they get to the part where we're both explaining why we're going to be miserable the entire night. First off, you need a friend to do some shit with. You know that stuff you really enjoy, like salsa dancing or going to plays or taking a painting class, which I assume you did all of those?
I was requested to go to salsa dancing, yep. And I did not go.
Yeah.
Because I just was like, that's too much. That is a bridge too far.
Right.
I'm willing to do a lot of things. I would perhaps even be willing to do a form of dancing. Salsa dancing is out.
Salsa dancing would be sort of... Because you feel like if you learn salsa dancing, you may have to do that again.
Yeah.
We're like,
you don't go salsa dancing one time.
Right.
That turns into a weekly thing where you're in a shitty Mexican restaurant that you don't like. There's a bunch of weird fucks there that you don't like. There's two like real weird dudes, like one old man who's good at salsa dancing, but you're like, he just wants to touch girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's like if
I don't want to get involved in that
scene. If you did ballroom dancing, you know, you'd basically do that once.
I mean, there's not a lot of things that if it was like you have to do this for every Monday night for the rest of your life.
Right.
Not a lot of things would fall below salsa dancing. Like maybe swing dancing, just because I feel like the people who would show up to that would be dressed in such a way that would really irritate me.
Mm.
And also I'd be like, oh, swing music and ska music aren't the same. Fuck. I kind of thought these were the same.
They're the same.
That would be below. Maybe some kind of ice dancing.
Ooh, yeah, because you have to get ice skates.
That's
and
the
stuff.
Thing that people even do. But I mean, I would rather, you know, I would much rather if I was like married and it's like we're doing this every Monday night. I would rather it was like digging a trench.
Ah, I mean, like digging fence posts.
I'd be fine.
Every Monday you're digging fence posts.
At least I could listen to my iPod.
Right.
Now I'm not trying to be rude, but fence posts are playing you.
Okay. All right. Going through. So going back a little bit, you know that stuff you really enjoy, like salsa dancing or going to plays or taking a painting class? Joey, in this case Peter, doesn't enjoy that. He's only going to make you enjoy it less if you make him do so much of it because, and I think we all know this, he is never going to want to do something because you wanted him to want to do it. That just doesn't work. I'm sure I could jack off to weird pregnant lady porn with a gun to my head. Maybe even without the gun? But let's not experiment too much here. I could probably do it with a gun to my head, but no matter how large the gun or how painful the death or how pregnant the starlet, there's no changing the fact that I don't want to. The threat of death is a decent instigation to action, but it doesn't do much to change the landscape of motivation. What I'm saying is, if there is something that you want to do every week, something you know Joey doesn't enjoy, it's something that you've enjoyed and will enjoy as your own person, find a friend to go with you. Save the things where it's important that Joey be with you for things where it's actually important that Joey be with you. If Joey actually feels like he needs to be there, if he feels like he's adding something to the equation, he'll be much more willing to go. And I will skip down a little bit. You can help Joey by being somewhat protective of his personal time, even if that time seems like time wasted. Yes, he's just screwing around on the internet or watching sports or reading comic books or doing God knows what in the garage. This is important for Joey. Joey likes afternoons where he doesn't have anything looming. That's what events feel like, stuff that's looming and cutting his time off. Even if he doesn't have any malice toward the event, he will miss the time he spends without any real agenda. The advice I gave to Joey is to take you out a little more often. The advice I'm going to give to you is to let him off the hook once in a while. I think that seems like a good place to stop because this goes on for much longer.
Okay.
All right.
Before we get into a little more,
okay,
I have that brought up a weird thing that I'd never really thought of before.
Yeah.
And it feels like a staple of the show to talk about porno.
Okay.
Do you want to tilt that up just a little bit?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. I was trying to go back because the dramatic reading was getting a little loud.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So pregnant woman porn.
Okay.
Now, I think most men, when their wives are pregnant, mm-hmm. continue to have sex with their wives, and that's not a big deal.
I think so.
However, I think most people would also think it was weird if someone was regularly jacking off to pregnant woman porn.
Sure.
So what is it about? I don't know. It's just like the disconnection between a porno relationship and a love relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe this is my way of saying to people, like, maybe sometimes people freak out about porn too much. Because on the one hand, I don't think I would have problem at all having sex with a loved one who is pregnant.
Right.
Who I'd been having sex with. On the other hand, I'm not really interested in pregnant porno. So I guess what I'm saying is jacking off to porno and having sex with someone is two different things. And like, they don't really need to be...
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're not saying that like... The fact that I'm jacking off to porn and I'm not actually having sex with someone at the same time?
Well, I think the thing I'm trying to say is like these occupy more of a different space in my mind than one might suspect.
Okay.
In other words, I think that they seem very closely related, the having sex and the looking at porno. And I think they're actually much less related in a weird way than that. Than it appears at first glance.
So you're saying like the person who jacks off to pregnant lady porn all the time, and we'll just call this person for the sake of fun, Alex.
Sure.
All right.
The Alex of the world.
The Alex of the world who are jacking off to pregnant lady porn.
Yeah.
They're not constantly trying to find pregnant women to have sex with.
Right. Yeah. And furthermore, the ones who never jack off, you know, I've been fooled before.
Right.
Occasionally, I'll see somebody in a porn in the little window, and I'm like, all right. And then I click on it, and then I'm like, whoa.
pregnant.
Whoa. And then I, you know, have to click away because I'm not interested in that.
Ah.
But.
Because she's got a penis.
Well,
yeah.
No, that's the part I'm interested in.
Ah.
It's the thinking of how are you pregnant and penis and I'm jacking off. It is too much, you know. Spinning too many plates. I can only spin so many masturbatory plates at the same time. No, it's just like, I guess.
See, I think with pregnant lady porn, mm-hmm. I mean, I do wonder if it's kind of that escalation of something where it's like you sort of jerk off to just women by themselves and then it goes sure. a little more hardcore and then it goes a little bit different. And so eventually you just get bored of something and you say, ah, pregnant lady porn.
I mean, I think we've all clicked on something once in a while that we're right. just like, I don't think I like this,
uh-huh.
but let's just see what it is. And I think every time I've done that, I've been like, nope, I was right.
It's
I don't
you,
like this.
When you go to RedTube and you click on the wild and crazy button, which
yeah.
has the same top videos every time, and that's how you know I've clicked on it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's, you know, one of the thumbnails is three women lined up all... you know, bent over where you can see their buttholes.
Uh-huh.
And they seem to be lighting one butt, like doing one blue angel, like lighting a fart.
Oh, okay.
And then another, they seem to be having sex while skydiving.
Yeah.
Like there's a naked woman attached to a skydiver. And that seems really dangerous. And plus, like a really high budget porno shoot. Like that takes a lot of planning.
That's the kind of thing that I will click on every time.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I have just too many questions. And if I don't click on this, like maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the next day,
mm-hmm.
but soon I'll be laying in bed awake thinking, I wonder how they filmed that.
There,
like,
yeah.
How, I wonder if they had, like, what happened? You know, and then I'll be like, I should have just, it was a 3-minute clip. Why didn't I just watch it?
It
didn't cost me anything.
It's like when I watched some porns, I think, okay, this is clearly shot in a hotel room.
Yeah.
You know, they just get a hotel room.
Right, or some mansion where yeah. someone never is there.
And that's, well, like with mansions, that's where I'm always strange. You know, I'm always a little confused. Like, does someone own this mansion and then rent it out to porno people all the time?
I think so. I think that's exactly what happens. I think, like, here's my theory is, like, you get, let's say, a football player.
Right.
Who's, like, a single guy who's, like, 20.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's got a huge mansion.
Right.
And he's there, you know, he's got a second mansion that's in mm-hmm. Florida. And
right.
he's there 3 months out of the year. You know, and then someone's like, hey, how about we'll just pay you a few $1,000. We shoot a porno here. We don't even use the bed.
Yeah.
You know, we're just fucking in the kitchen. So it's fine. And be like, yeah. I mean, I would let someone fuck in my house if, like, if somehow they, I could be reassured that it was, like, reputable.
Right.
And they weren't going to be, like, slinging feces on the wall.
I'd also be concerned, like, that they're not, you know, jamming holes in the wall. Like, they're not breaking down my walls to get at electrical sockets.
Right.
Or, you know.
I assume no.
They're not knocking down lighting fixtures or things
yes.
to do stuff. Or they're not.
Leave no trace.
Right.
Leave only footprints. Take only memories.
Right. And pictures.
And penises.
Right.
Inside of you.
Yeah. Take only hard cocks.
Yeah. The porno way.
That's right.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
Honestly, like if I could basically come home and I would be like, I would never know a porno was shot here.
Right.
Plus, that is a great fucking story. Like when you have people over for a party, and you're like, where you're sitting.
There was a porno shot here.
I would get it like on DVD.
Yeah.
And be like, that's my house. And then like get stills from it and put it in the different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a still of the house. And it's like, oh, and there's people having sex. That would be amazing.
See, but what I kind of imagine is that a lot of pornos, like a sizable number of them are probably shot in some kind of warehouse.
Yeah.
You know, in the way that I learned the other day that like epic rap battles of history, like a YouTube show is shot like basically in a giant soundstage.
And yeah, but I mean, that looks like it's shot in a...
Sure.
Green screen.
Sure. It's got a big green screen and everything else.
I don't think pornos are green screen.
I think
they're just in like houses. I think they're just these mansions that people have. Or you know what some of them could be too is like they're just on the housing market.
And oh,
it's like a
yeah.
crooked real estate guy. And they're just like, hey, how about you show us the house? You know, we'll pay you $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
All you got, you can just stand around, make sure we don't wreck the place. It's going to take an hour. Doesn't take any time. And these two people fuck. I mean, people fuck in these houses anyway.
I would also,
what's the difference?
I would also kind of imagine that as that porno is probably not the most regulated industry, so they're probably not huge on getting permits.
Someone was telling me, so when I was in Los Angeles, you know, they have like condom law when you shoot porno. And so there's this town that's just outside of Los Angeles, and they're like, oh, that's where all the pornos get shot.
Yeah.
Because it's like you can drive a short distance and then be in a condom-free zone.
It's close to Los Angeles, but
yeah, I mean, it's literally it's less than an hour away.
Now, when you're watching a porno, do you care if anyone's wearing a condom? Like, because I
don't care either way.
Yeah, I
like,
barely
if I
notice.
See one, it doesn't bother me. And if I don't, it doesn't really matter either. Yeah. I don't really like super close-ups of the dicks.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's I think that's one of the among the things that I don't get. But when we're talking about pregnant lady porn, it seems like the close-up of the dick, it doesn't really do much for me. But at least I kind of understand it. You know, like it's proximally related to something that I do like. And so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, like, I can't see dicks.
Right.
But the condom doesn't bother me because it's like, well, and it seems like they have condoms that are, like, practically see-through.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I wouldn't even notice. And, like, I just, doesn't matter. A little covering on the dick, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not in it for, like, oh, I want to see that vein popping.
Yeah, no.
And if I can't see that, then I don't want it. There are a lot of porno conventions that I really don't agree with that come way before condom usage.
So
like, I don't know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, like I mean, there's the, do you have a narrative, is there sort of genre conventions or things like
I
that?
I think here's what I think is actually my overall problem. I watch pretty much straight porn.
Yeah,
like two people,
right,
man, woman, mm-hmm, having sex.
Yeah.
Now and someone actually suggested to me, because I was complaining about how many images of balls there are.
Yeah.
Like, why are people shooting like pornos where I'm just like, basically 3/4 of the screen is a ball sack? Who is that for?
I don't know.
So, and they were like, you should try, you know, girl on girl or something. And I'm like, yeah, it just doesn't work for me.
I think that there's a weird concern among the audience that they believe, or like, there's a weird concern that sex is not actually taking place. You know, that they're all faking it. It's all movie magic.
So that's why I have to see the balls.
I guess.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Lord of the Rings. I believe that shit as much as I needed to.
And that's the thing.
I could jack off to that.
Like, no one's looking at the verisimilitude of porn. Like, if she's not actually having sex, then I'm not actually watching a porn. Like, we've all jerked off to scenes in movies back in the day before when porn was less accessible.
Yeah.
We all watched the old things on Cinemax or Showtime where there's sort of a lot of boobs and dry humping.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure they weren't actually having sex.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And that didn't matter. Like, that didn't count.
No.
But pregnant lady porn, you had comments about that.
Oh, yeah. And, no, I think that's the end of it. It's just like, it's just weird to me to think now, because I'm like, I would not watch pregnant lady porn. Like, right. I know that's not a thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've dabbled in it as far as, like, I've seen it. And I know... There's something that's weird about it. It's a little bit almost like it's only one step removed from sometimes you'll see like a naked selfie.
Right.
And there's like a children's toy in the background.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, what the hell is that?
It's part of like one of those projects you had that you've abandoned since, but it's still linked on Helpful Snowman.
Yeah.
Where it's just too distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like weird Tumblr porno pictures where you're like, wait a minute, what the fuck is that? What are you doing? You know, and there'll be like a kid in the background or...
It's almost as good as the other Tumblr of indifferent cats and amateur porn.
It's a lot... It's similar to that, yeah.
I actually click on all of those video links because those are hilarious.
Yeah, they're fun.
In that sometimes there's a threesome being shot, like it was clearly set up by a trio.
Yeah.
And the strangest part is because, like, as much as professional porno is strange, of like where they get the house and locations,
yeah,
amateur porno has its own little conditions of like, you have one bed in your house, you're going to film a sex scene.
Yeah.
What would you do to prepare your bed to be shot on film? What was something you might do?
Make the bed.
Sure.
If I had like an old Cheetos bag, I would throw it off to the side.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have a goddamn laundry basket just sitting on the floor.
Right.
I wouldn't. You know, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't need to do that much to prepare my bed because I sleep in my bed.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know, I don't know what other people are doing in their beds.
I guess that's the thing is it's like if you were...
I would make sure there's no live rats in there. I mean,
it makes me wonder, like, but I think that if you have a threesome, right, and you have the time to set up a goddamn tripod,
yeah,
you have someone to be like, hey, you, move the Cheetos bag,
yeah,
move this. But of all the things you would not have on your bed, goddamn cat.
I would put the cat in the bathroom.
Yeah, like the cat can go somewhere else.
Fuck this. Yeah.
Yeah, like the cat.
I don't really like the cats to be in the bedroom during the sexy time when it's not filmed.
Right.
I prefer not. I know a lot of people do have cats and dogs and just get used to it.
Yeah.
I prefer not. They don't need to be there. That's like when I still don't really like, you know, like if the cat's watching me take a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't prefer that. And if I lived with the cat full time, I would probably just not let it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, no, you don't need to watch me take a shit. That doesn't need to happen.
The cat doesn't need to like sit on your lap while you're taking a shit.
No, it rub against my legs.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm taking a shit right now.
I am pooping.
Yeah. This is the definition of me time.
It's like,
me alone.
Do you go in the litter box and stare at the cat while it's pooping?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. But it seems like, yeah, if you're going to film your sex scene and the cat's just hanging out on the bed, you're not going to go like, eh, let's kind of maneuver around the cat.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do? We're in the middle of sex and I just like pet the cat a little bit.
Well, like they're always the one I saw, they were trying to like ignore the cat and move around the cat.
Yeah.
Or they thought like, oh, if we just have enough sex, the cat will move. But cats do not.
Stop having sex.
Right.
Move the cat. Cut the tape. And then cut it back in.
Like, sort of just be like,
it's that
we'll
easy.
We'll put the cat down. It's not
put the cat fucking outside.
The
put
cat
it on the porch. Put it in the bathroom.
The cat didn't come and, like, cuddle them.
No,
or, like,
I know,
go under the bed
doesn't
before.
It need to be there.
It didn't come in, like, while they were having sex. It was already there.
Yeah.
And they just kind of had sex around it.
Yeah.
And then like, eventually they just kind of moved it. But it was a long time. But
that's gross.
They didn't try to, you know, just go, we'll just move the cat. They said they just tried to like push it subtly and like bully it. And the cat was completely indifferent to being pushed.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care when you're asleep. Why would they care when you're having sex? Like, they don't give a shit.
That's right.
Why they just can't be in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you read this post.
I did.
It was like a romantic advice post.
Uh-huh.
Why did you pick this one?
I think I picked this one because it encapsulates... First of all, I wanted to go in a slightly different direction than the previous person who read more of a comedy post.
Oh, okay.
And so I wanted to go in a different way.
Yeah, that was a more of a ranty...
Ranty.
Yeah.
Post. I felt it lent itself better to a dramatic reading when I selected it, but I didn't realize how long it was.
Yeah.
That's the other challenge.
Yeah.
Part of why I selected it was that for a long time when I read this one, I was really staring and trying to figure out the AC/DC analogy.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't quite get what you were going for.
Okay, here's
what
I'm saying.
So it was a good time to ask on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll clarify.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe I'll just say it again and maybe it'll make more sense. I'll say it again.
It gives you reference.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, pretend you're at an AC/DC concert, and it's the farewell tour. So
right.
This is the last show.
They'll never
play
again.
That's an important detail.
Yeah.
And they're playing Hell's Bells, and you're singing along. And then the concert's over, everything's done, you're walking out of the stadium, and you're like, that was fucking amazing. And some guy goes, just so you know, it's traditional not to sing along with Hell's Bells. All he's doing is fucking up your good time.
Right.
Because it's not like, oh, well, next time I'll know. There's no next time. That was it. AC/DC is done. So all this person has done effectively is let you know how you fucked up, and then now your memory of that time is tainted. So basically, they're just giving you worthless, horrible information that makes you feel shittier about something that already happened.
It's sort of that they're giving you worthless, shitty information about something that's already happened.
Yeah.
They're informing you about something which cannot be changed.
Right. And so when we're talking about going on the date, and if I say to Kathy Ireland,
right,
I'll go, I just want you to know I don't want to go.
Right.
Like, now that cat's out of the bag. That Hell's Bell has been rung and can't be unrung. And so therefore, all I'm really doing is making it shittier for her. Like, I don't get anything out of telling her I'm not going to have fun. Like, it doesn't make her go, oh, okay, well, I'll change it this and that way in order to make it more fun for you.
Right.
It makes her pissed off, justifiably.
It's sort of when you say the, I don't really want to go, but I'll go anyway. It's making her feel hurt without you gaining anything.
Yeah, you don't get shit out of that. It's not like you're saying, okay, if it was salsa dancing and I could just say, I just, that's so antithetical to what I enjoy. Like, I don't enjoy moving my body that way.
Right.
And I'm happy for you to go and do that. And there are a lot of things I would do, and I think that's just outside the boundaries for me.
That there's times, and maybe this is the opposite direction in the dating advice pool, of like when I was going out with someone and she wanted to go to a place where I really didn't want to go.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay, but you're driving.
And that's fine.
Where, like, saying the, okay, I dislike drive. I don't want to drive to some place where I don't want to go. So if, like, if you can reduce my misery slightly.
Yeah, and I mean, even, I don't know.
Where I can drink all I want when I get there.
Well, okay, I think that's another thing. Like, if I went to a wedding that I really didn't want to go to.
Sure, like you're going.
I had a million things to do, and it was like.
You're going to, like, a wedding. You're going to a wedding of a significant other's friend
cousin.
You don't really know. Yeah, like cousin you don't really know. Where
and then
she
if you say, all right, I can go. Can I be drunk?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's a problem. Or, like, if I was going to go to one of these fucking things where it's like you drink wine and paint a canvas and everyone paints the same picture, I'd be like, I will need to be drunk to enjoy that. Like, I think it's okay to be honest about that. But on the other, here's the other thing, though. This is the difference between someone saying, like, we're going to a wedding, because let's be honest, if someone wants you to go to a wedding, they don't necessarily want to go either.
Right.
This isn't like a choice they made.
Yeah.
They didn't choose where it was or what's happening or whatever. If they want to go salsa dancing and you're like, I don't want to go, I have to be drunk, I think that people should just have the guts to say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't put conditions on it. Don't be like, I'll go if you meet these conditions. Just either go and try it. And here's the other thing. I think that you kind of have to go, like, once. You know what I mean?
Is that once you've gone and you've tried it, then you... It's not that you have carte blanche to complain where you're like, this is shitty and you're a shitty person for taking me. But it's the... You can say, hey, I gave this an honest attempt.
Yeah.
I don't really like it.
Yeah.
But that's sort of letting her know after you've already tried it. And you can say, these are things I don't like. So,
well, and afterwards, right. You can say, I didn't think I would like it, but I wanted to try for you.
Right.
And I don't like it. And, you know, that doesn't mean it's not a good thing to do, but I think that that's something I don't want to do.
It does deliver the information that you'd want delivered in a context of saying, the next time she says, hey, do you want to go salsa dancing? You don't have to say, I don't like salsa dancing. You can say, remember when we went and I tried it and I told you I didn't like it?
Yeah. I mean, these are hard things for me because, like, all the activities I enjoy are solo activities.
You hate everything.
I hate everything. I do. Like, I just don't like doing things. I, you know, nothing makes me happier than, like, I wake up on a Saturday and I have no possibility of plans.
Which I actually think leads me into my topic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of my topics.
Let's see. Should we go into category number 5?
That's right.
Topics?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So category 5, topics.
Topics. See, and what I kind of struggle with at the end of the year, like a lot of movie critics I listen to or see, they make their top 10 lists of the year.
Oh, sure.
Or like people who have their top 5 podcasts or whatever else, or top 5 video games or top 10 or whatever else.
Yeah, everything's the top da-da of da-da.
Right. So the problem I have is that I'm always waiting for the Helpful Snowman top 5 or top 10.
Okay.
But the problem is... You don't go to movies.
Right.
You don't really see many movies.
I don't know if I've seen 5 new movies in 2014.
And so there's like, you read a lot of books.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that counts. You don't really listen to a lot of new music is my guess.
I mean, I think I listen to a fair amount of music,
right.
But I think I definitely explore music kind of... If time is horizontal, I kind of like go vertical and horizontal and back and forth. Like the new, the newness of music does not make me any more or less likely to listen to it. Let's put it that way. Like, unless it's by one of my like two or three favorite bands, the novelty of it has nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
Like, and when I hear a song, I heard a real weird song.
Let's see.
How is that song? Bang, bang into the room. And I was trying to guess the three people involved. I think Nicki Minaj was involved. I guessed her just because that's the only new person I know. And that's just because of butt stuff.
Ah.
And then the other two people I had never heard of.
All right.
Like, not even heard the names in my life.
Okay. And
anyway.
And I assume you have seen the Nicki Minaj fart remix?
No.
And you've heard the controversy around that?
No.
Is that somebody on YouTube made a fart remix of Nicki Minaj where they played Anaconda, but then every time they showed a butt, they made a fart noise.
Okay.
Which is, they made the fart noises not just there, but like to rhythm.
Uh-huh.
So when their butts are slamming down, it would go like...
Sure.
Yeah. Which is worth watching.
Why is that a controversy?
Well, because Nicki Minaj's record company sued for a copyright infringement.
Yeah.
And so they put up a little like cheap Casio Beats thing with the same fart sounds in it where it's like goes... over the video, and then just the fart noises as well.
Oh, so they could be like, oh, this is a totally different song.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
All right. So what I thought we would do, since
it is a butt song.
It is.
And so to put farts in it is really, I mean, I don't want to be a dick or anything, but it's like, come on. We're not talking about like someone drawing a poop mustache on Mona Lisa. We're talking butts and farts are immediately related.
You have a song
farts
entirely
come from butts.
Yep.
Anyway,
well, so since I am a movie guy and I do have a top five list of movies, but I thought it'd be more interesting if I did, rather than a top five movies for you, just five movies you saw this year. I want to see if you can recall seeing five movies.
No, this would be
this
like
year.
Five movies I saw this year that are new in 2014 or that I just hadn't seen.
That you hadn't seen, that you can recall seeing. Like, to see if you can recall five.
Number one, I saw Snowpiercer.
Okay.
I thought that was okay.
So, wait. Snowpiercer's on my list as well.
Yeah.
Why do you think Snow... What did you like about... What do you remember of Snowpiercer?
You know, I just saw that a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It just so happens. So, I mean, it was good. It was okay. Like, the ending's kind of a letdown. I'm not going to spoil anything about it, but, like, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't, you know. It's a movie that I think you're waiting for the ending, but it's not really about the ending.
Right.
It was also more violent than I expected. I mean, I expected it to be violent, but it was fairly brutal and made me feel like an old man because I was like, geez, movies are getting so violent.
Well, it's a lot of, like, I think a lot of it is that we're used to stuff with guns.
Yeah.
Which has a lot of distance to it, but when you're on a train and they're bludgeoning each other and axing each other and everything else, it feels much more, like, the violence is much more connected and visceral.
It was very person-to-person violence.
Yeah.
Which isn't a disrecommendation. That's
no.
not a word, but...
It's to be aware of. Like, it's sort of the parental content warning.
I mean, it made it not an easy watch.
So I don't want to get into spoilers, but do you think babies taste best?
Babies taste best.
Everyone remembers that line.
So I saw that.
Yeah.
I would say it's a, I don't know, how should I rate these? Like a watch or not watch?
Sure. You do the Conan O'Brien Clueless Gamer scale,
right,
where it's just completely made up.
Out of a possible 10,000, 64 being the highest, 80,000 being the worst, I give it a 2,500. Mm.
That's tough but fair.
Okay, what else? I saw Thor in the Dark World.
Thor in the Dark World. So tell
us
about...
On DVD.
Thor in the Dark World on DVD.
Now,
so.
if I had to go theater...
Right.
I would have to look. I don't even know. I saw The Escape Plan, but I don't know if that was in 2014. Should I look?
Yeah. So did you see do you remember seeing The Escape Plan in the theater?
Yes. I can explain what happened. This is 2013.
So, no.
So that's a no. basically what happened, I went to the movies and I was really excited to see something, but what happened is I went and misread the showtime. Mm-hmm. I thought I had like an hour, so I went and ate dinner and got fairly drunk.
Wow.
And then went back to the movies and realized I'd missed my chance to see whatever crazy ass movie I was going to see. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll see The Escape Plan.
You're just going like, I'm just going to show up and see The Escape Plan.
I have like three movies that I saw that I was definitely too drunk for.
Uh-huh.
It was that one, giant robot kaiju battle movie, Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
I was pretty drunk. We got there about 10
also
minutes
didn't come
late.
Out this year.
We got there 10 minutes late and had to sit in the very front row. It was very disorienting. And Star Trek, Benedict Cumberbatch, whatever. Yeah. That I was way too drunk to follow and was like, I am not enjoying this. And I was like, is this not as good as the first one?
No, it's not.
Okay. But I couldn't tell if I was just drunk or if it wasn't as good.
Also didn't come out this year.
Was Her this year?
Yeah.
Her, so. The movie. I saw that. And let me look. If it wasn't this year, that had to be the end of last year, right? Oh, this is 2013 as well.
Oh, so there you go. I thought it was. It was near the end of last year. But
let me look and see, because I would like to count it if it was in like
December.
Yeah.
Because you're only at two.
I know. Where the hell does this even say?
Peter's looking it up right now.
I'm like the only person who doesn't use IMDb on the regular.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Release date, 10 January 2014.
Oh, there you go.
In the USA. Okay. Wait a minute. So I need to go back and look at The Escape Plan and make sure.
You were that drunk where, was it cold outside?
I don't remember. It was night. I saw it at night.
And night never happens. Night did not occur in 2013.
Okay, it was like October 2013. So it was close to the end.
All right, so you got Her. So tell us a little bit about Her.
Her I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
It was a Spike Jonze movie.
It is.
I think he makes... Okay, I've found that I like directors like Spike Jonze, mm-hmm. or who's the twee Spike Jonze?
Wes Anderson?
Yeah, Wes Anderson. And there's a third guy who's in that boat somewhere.
Paul something. Paul. It's like there's a Paul Anderson who makes... artsy movies, and then there's a Paul D. Anderson who made the Resident Evil movies.
The Resident Evil guy.
Yeah. You like to watch Mila Jovovich kick a dog in the face.
Why not?
Yeah.
Those movies are berserk.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think there are a few directors who I feel like no matter what they do, it's going to be visual. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Sure.
Like, it's a movie.
Yeah.
They make a fucking movie. It reminds me, like, Her... And Spike Jonze movies and Wes Anderson movies remind me of like a Beetlejuice.
Sure.
Where I'm like, they make a whole world and they didn't really have to.
They make something like they make a world that's not our world. It's an exaggerated version.
Yeah.
So since they're not going for realism, you kind of let go of the idea that realism is important.
Yeah. And so I think what I liked about Her was it was a love story that... I don't know. It was a very atypical love story.
Sure.
And it doesn't go the way you think, you know? So this guy basically, it's basically like he falls in love with Siri. And it's an advanced version of Siri, though.
Yeah.
That does also love him.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, like he goes on a double date with somebody. And rather than them being like, you're a crazy idiot, they kind of just go with it. Like they're fine with it. You know, and this is like in a near future.
It's much better than that. Did you ever see that movie Lars and the Real Doll?
I saw part of it. Yeah. I don't really remember it, though. But like Lars is this weirdo, right? And
right.
like everyone's like, well, he's had some kind of trauma, so let's just let it ride. Mm-hmm. Just pretend it's fine. And Her was nice because like, well, you find out things throughout the movie.
Right.
And it's like, but it's they don't treat it the way you would think where everyone's like, this one weirdo is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sort of accepted.
Right.
And people don't think he's like a crazy loser because of that.
It doesn't seem too far out. So that's...
Yeah, it seems more, in a weird way, it's more realistic. And also, I think it's, to me, good sci-fi always talks about something that's real
right.
in a fake way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, to me, what that does.
So the question is, when you talk about real things in a fake way, would you rather watch... porn where the woman is really pregnant or if someone's just in a pregnancy suit
in porn?
Yeah.
Do I know it's a suit?
Let's say it's like a Wes Anderson suit, so it's a very obvious.
I mean, I would
like,
have to know it was a suit.
It's like a crocheted pregnancy suit. To
okay,
make
yeah,
it look,
fake pregnancy
yeah.
suit.
Yes,
yeah, so I think the pregnancy
knit.
Thing is not about the belly. Right. It's not like, ooh, her body is destroyed and gross. It's right. There's like a baby in there. Mm-hmm. And also it makes me just wonder what's happening in this person's life. It makes me think of the porno people as real people.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to go there.
It doesn't seem like you do your first porno when you're pregnant.
No, like, you don't jump into that. Why are you doing that? Like, there's a baby in there, and then that baby's going to be born. And then what happens? So, yeah, if you're saying, like, would I rather watch a porno, like, if it was like, okay, you have to watch pregnancy porn forever.
Right.
It can either be real pregnant people or, like, someone with saline in their stomach. Mm-hmm. Basically, one giant breast implant. I would go with a fake one. Because I'd be like, well, she's just doing
porno. So you're
porno.
Saying you want someone to be inflated with saline, which would probably kill them.
I'm not saying I want that.
Right.
I'm saying that if those are my options to watch, I'll pick the fake one.
Gotcha.
That's all.
So
just because I'm concerned about the future of this family, which I never thought I would say in reference to porno, but it's just how I feel.
That's how big Helpful Snowball can be. Strange things come out.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got two left.
Okay, wait. So, and yeah. then, and Thor in the Dark World. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Two other movies I saw this year.
All the way through.
And that I hadn't seen before.
Yep.
I saw the documentary You Don't Know Bo.
Okay.
About Bo Jackson.
You Don't Know Bo. So, how did you get to You Don't Know Bo?
I heard a podcast where someone was talking about Bo Jackson briefly.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember they were talking, a guest on the show was saying they saw it and it was really good. And they're like, you would love it. It's like this and that. And so I started watching clips of Bo Jackson on YouTube.
Right.
And they were so awesome. Then I was like, this guy actually was really awesome. And then I watched the documentary also because the person on the other show was saying that he seems like a nice, humble guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I can watch this then.
But he's not bragging.
He's not an asshole where you're like, oh, what a dick. So I was like, well, it's not going to ruin my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm interested to hear about it. It's an interesting sports story because he's like, unquestionably one of the greatest athletes of all time, but he had a very short career.
Yeah.
And he was like in the, you know, there was a lot of talk in the movie too about how like his era and what his responsibility might have been in the birth of the sports highlight.
Right.
You know, where he just did something amazing and then they would show it over and over again.
He was also in an era where it was possible to be an NFL player and an MLB player, like to play
yes,
Major League
baseball
and football.
And football, Major League, and did both really well.
Right.
Like he could do either one. He was a star.
Right.
Yeah, and there's just these amazing moments from his short career.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's like a, I mean, in football, you watch the football clips and he was just unstoppable. And then you watch like the baseball, you know, there's this famous throw where he throws a ball straight from the out, like from the wall,
right
in the far, far part of the outfield, all the way from the wall to the catcher, straight to him, no bounce, you know, and it's so great because this guy is rounding the bases and the ball beats him there. And this guy is so pissed. He can't fucking believe it.
Right.
He's like, that's, and his literal quote was, that's not fair.
I mean, I think that like you have to existentially say like, that is so unfair.
Yeah.
Like it's not he's not mad at the catcher or he's certainly not mad at Bo Jackson. He's
right.
Like, that's, come on, dude.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I can't play this. You know, like this is not possible. Or, you know, there's just these things he did too. Like there's this famous catch he makes where he's running towards the wall and he catches it and he's running right at the wall. He runs up the wall.
Right.
He like runs the semicircle on the wall and then lands on the ground and then just like whips the ball back to the pitcher. Like it's nothing.
Just as if it was like, eh, whatever.
And you're just like, this guy's not playing the same sports.
Yeah.
Like this is not even the same thing. Like there's something about the way he is that he is just different. And I liked that. And it was also, it was fun to see that because you're like, this guy is playing sports. And what I hate about sports is just all the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, he seems like he's enjoying himself. And he likes doing this and he's good at it.
So I do have a question that is more of a hypothetical.
Sure.
But it might have been answered in the film. Mike Tyson did play Mike Tyson's Punch Out. You know, and he said he could never get past Glass Joe. Well, he finally did get past Glass Joe, the first person.
Right.
Do you think Bo Jackson played Bo Jackson baseball
at all? I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
If he did, he played it for 10 seconds. I mean, maybe. Bo Jackson baseball or Tecmo Bowl, I wonder if he played that. Because when you were Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, it was like, if you could get the ball to Bo Jackson, he would always score a touchdown. Like, that's how the game, this game was basically programmed with Bo Jackson being an unstoppable force.
In Tecmo
Bowl, how much of an effect he had on
Tecmo
culture.
Tecmo Bowl was programmed in a way that if you wanted to score, you just always start at the right side of the field and keep going left.
Yes, and you always give it to Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
That's,
you could do
the
that with
you
basically any player, but you give it to Bo Jackson, it's like, just run through.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's just fine.
Yeah, so I doubt he played it. I doubt he played this game that was the source of so much frustration for me.
Yeah. See, it seems like if I had a video game based on me in any tangential way, I would have to play it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But if, I mean, you're interested in video games.
Sure.
And also, let's consider Bo Jackson would have grown up in an era of no video games.
That's right. So in your case, it's not like as if you'd be playing a video game of your own life.
Right.
It's the if you saw a movie of your own life, which is not even the Chuck Klosterman hypothetical. Like,
right.
I'm pretty sure if there was a movie made of your own life, you might not see it.
Well,
like, you might just be like, that's a movie.
I would see it. I think what would be embarrassing is I might not go like on opening weekend. Like, if I had shit to do,
you would
like,
go.
I might miss the premiere.
You would go not even during the premiere weekend. You might go like 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Show up to the matinee. Get, like, a popcorn.
I mean, I think I'm interested enough in myself. Like, I find it mind-boggling, for example, if I was in a movie and they made an action figure of me,
right?
I would definitely own that action figure.
See,
like, that would be so exciting to me.
You would
that,
buy the,
to me, is the pinnacle.
I think you would buy the action figure before you saw the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you would
if
have
If I could only do one, right. I would buy the action figure.
You'd buy the action figure on pre-order before the movie even comes out.
That's more exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, I would probably, if the first thing people were like, so what are, who are you, what are you? And I'm like, someone made an action figure of me. That's all you need to know, motherfucker.
That's all you need to know. All right, so you need one more movie.
Oh,
you
one
saw
more
this
movie.
Year.
I'm sure I saw another one. What was the Haunted Mirror movie? Was that in 2014?
You mean like the Snow White one? Or?
No. It was like a movie about, I'm going to just type in scary mirror movie.
What
My
comes
internet's
up?
Dead.
We
went to go see this horror movie. Nick and Orval and I occasionally will just go see a terrible looking horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that we went to go see and it has just some dumb name. And I was like, what is this movie about? And Val's like, a scary mirror. And I was like, Val, I'm asking a serious question. It actually was about a scary mirror. She wasn't wrong. So we saw that, but I don't know if that was in 2014.
Okay.
But let me see. Oh, you know what else I saw that I think was maybe in 2014? Jodorowsky's Dune.
Ooh.
Which I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I raped the book. let's see. Scary mirror movie. Oculus.
Oculus. Okay.
Let's see. Oculus. I didn't enjoy Oculus because I felt like it's a movie where you don't know what's reality and what's not, and neither do the characters, which I know some people like, but I don't like that because I'm like, why am I even watching this? April 2014 in the USA.
Oh, there you go.
So there we go. I watched that. I watched the Haunted Mirror movie.
So your top five of the year is...
You said just five, not top five.
Well, if you were making your critics' top five of the year, it would be Snowpiercer.
But I don't get a lot of options because it's just five I saw.
I know. That it would be your top five because it's like the five you saw.
But I mean, I would just put other movies in there, assuming they're probably better.
Movies you've already seen before. It's like, yeah. I'd put like...
Beetlejuice. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The Bo Jackson movie can stay. You know, her, that was nice.
So basically, like,
and
your top five would change
escape plan.
Yeah, your top five would change
Demolition
two or three movies. It would change two movies every year.
I would love if I ever got famous enough to announce like the nominees for an Oscar,
right?
I just, no matter what the category is, you know, best screenplay, I'm going to be like, you know, whatever these movies are in the future, like The Tree, Mountains Upon Mountains, Demolition Man.
Just slide in Demolition Man, be like, Demolition Man.
The much overlooked Demolition Man. I brought a DVD if you haven't seen it.
I've got this VHS like out in the pawn shop on the way over here.
Yeah, basically I have a boombox on my shoulder, but it's a TV showing Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'll just wear a Demolition Man t-shirt. I think...
Could you walk out in the Wesley Snipes hair?
Am I wrong that I think that Demolition Man is the funniest title of a movie ever?
It might be.
Demolition Man. And they even say it in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the overweight captain who's like, I'm tired of this Demolition Man shit! I'm like, he somehow got the nickname Demolition Man.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Demolition Man and Winnebago Man?
Demolition Man?
I don't know. Winnebago Man seems pretty angry.
He's angry, but Demolition Man is beating people up and demolishing. That's what he does.
Who would you rather follow around for a day, Winnebago Man or Demolition Man?
Am I a sidekick or just an observer?
Let's say you're a sidekick.
Okay, Demolition Man.
How about if you're an observer?
Winnebago Man.
So why would you rather watch the Winnebago Man instead of Detective John Spartan?
I think I would die if I was watching, if I was an observer, and if I was watching Demolition Man, there's a good chance I'm going to die.
Yeah, but if you're his sidekick, you're probably going to die too.
His sidekicks all lived. Sandra Bullock lived.
Yeah.
Benjamin Bratt lived.
He said he didn't have a partner in the present time. Who was his partner in the present time?
When you say the present
time. The present time.
Like the not future?
Yeah, like the not future.
He didn't have a partner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His partners all died.
No, he just didn't have one. He works alone.
Because they keep dying
and
building
Demolition
collapses.
Man shit.
Yeah. Like if
that old black man who was in the future was like a guy who knew him.
It seems kind of like if you were if your partner was named Demolition Man because you tended to blow up entire buildings to solve the case or to like
fuck.
Yeah, you're like, ah, God, I'm gonna always wait in the car.
Yeah, I mean, even Rob Schneider lived.
That's true, and Rob Schneider doesn't.
Everyone
deserve to
wants
live.
To see him get shot in a movie. If he's in your movie, we all want to see him get shot.
I will so see Grown Ups 3 if it just has Rob Schneider's face being blown up, like in Scanners, just. Which is available and I did see for the first time this year. And it's just a strange movie where it's all about people's heads exploding.
Yeah, I saw part of it too and was like, I thought there was going to be more to it, but really it's just, you know, these old, like, I don't know if they're even horror movies, but like horror premise movies, like The Stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that about? Just this stuff that you eat. It's like a weird yogurt that makes you crazy and explode.
It's Psycho Yogurt.
Yeah, Crazy Yogurt, the movie. I mean, it's like, if we'd gone to see that, instead of saying it's about a scary mirror, she would have said it's about scary yogurt.
It's about this yogurt that kills you.
Yeah, and I'd be like, well, it's not possible.
That can't be done.
All right. You ready for your next thing?
I think so.
Does that cover our category?
I think that covers
my
our category.
Top five movies of 2014.
That's right.
Excellent. And will you be selecting commercial or recommendation?
I think I'll go with the recommendation.
Okay. Okay, so we are going to be calling someone to whom you will hopefully be able to recommend this show. I will remind everyone that in our last one, there was a hearty recommendation. However, it was done on an answering machine, and that's acceptable.
Okay.
You have to give me the chance to plug in before you initiate this call.
So see, here's what I was thinking, and I don't know if it will be available right now, but I have a mixed record at best in the Roseanne game. I feel like I want to try to beat someone in the Roseanne game.
Okay.
And so that seemed like a good thing to do as I'm randomly calling somebody. And I'm trying to think of somebody who would still be likely awake.
I don't have a Roseanne game prepared.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I can see if I have an old one. And I don't know if that would make a difference in your success.
Right. Oh, man, who's still awake at this time of night is the real question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Snowball's not a pushover event. This is real shit.
Yeah, it's real time, son. It'd be real.
Oh, that's just pictures of Roseanne.
Let's see. Someone I could call.
We'll just search this computer hard drive and see if there's a Roseanne game.
All right, I think I've got my person.
Oh, here we go.
There we go.
I might have a couple. I'm just getting a circle right now. That's what happens.
Ah.
You got your person?
I do.
All right, let me plug in. I have no idea who this is.
I have an OtterBox on my phone, and he's trying to jam just straight through the OtterBox.
Ah.
He had a hard time understanding that the OtterBox covers some things.
I was pushing it into just solid plastic rubber. So what you want to do is call and then put them on speaker, and they should be able to hear us, and we should be able to hear them.
All right.
So do you want to tell us this person's first name?
This person's name is Kaysen.
Okay, that sounds fake.
It's his real name.
Casey Kaysen. Here we go.
All right. It's on speaker.
Oh, wait, take it off speaker. Just kidding.
There we go.
And you just pitch this show however you feel best.
Oh, he's not picking up.
I mean, you can do it to his machine.
Ah. I don't know if his machine is going either.
Oh, hi there, you've reached Kaysen's phone. Just leave a message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks for calling.
He sounds good on the radio.
Hey, Kaysen. You have a good radio voice because you're on the radio right now. I just wanted to recommend Helpful Snowman, the podcast, to you. I think it'd be good if someday we could arrange where you could call in. There's this game I could beat you at called the Roseanne game, where we guess if an episode of Roseanne is fake or real based on its Netflix description. As a big Roseanne fan, I think you could do fairly well, but I have a pretty good record, so I could kick your ass. If you want to hear my record, you should check out Helpful Snowman. By the way, this is to win a radio contest. See ya.
All right.
That's kind of disappointing. I wanted someone to pick up.
I mean, you can make another call if you want. I won't stop you from making a second call? Call to somebody else.
Oh, you know who? I will make one more call.
Okay.
To Pat.
Okay.
He's an occasional listener of the show.
Okay.
So it's just to see if I can get a good listen or a good, you know, having a call-in guest. Just got to get ready. Come on. Come on. Damn it. Nope, I don't think it's going to happen. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll just cut this off.
All right.
I do want to apologize on air to Darren Roberts. I didn't have his phone number. I was sure he would pick up. And also, since he lives in Alaska,
yeah,
he would likely be awake right now.
But you couldn't pitch the show to him.
No. Well, I don't need to. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it would be fun.
I found a Roseanne game, but it only has real ones in it. So, yeah.
So, I think, you know, while you're looking up to see if there's any Roseanne games, I'd like to give a brief word from our sponsor.
Oh, okay. This is your last thing.
Right.
So, the last thing is a sponsor thing. Do you want an audio bed?
Sure.
What kind of...
I think I'd like something jaunty.
Okay. Let me find something jaunty. I mean, you know, there are always options. You know, whenever I'm thinking jaunty, sometimes I like to go with like. Trying to get
you
to
a hotel. You know, maybe I see where you're going with this, but maybe jaunty is the right direction. So, could you give me something suspenseful, tense?
Maybe.
Like, think Jack Bauer's trying to hack into the computer, kind of tense.
Oh,
yeah.
that was more horror tense. I can do that. Hold on.
Yeah.
So you need like an intense song.
Mm-hmm.
How's this? This is too not intense. This is not what you're talking about.
No.
All right. I got something. Funny that your phone just did that.
Because it was on mute the whole time.
Well, and also... because that is like right where I was headed.
Mm.
Here we go.
Are you having people cracking your phones, sneaking around, trying to get into your stuff? Well, don't worry anymore. Because OtterBox protects not only from the elements, be it the mountain tundra and the snow, but also from people trying to jam wires into your iPhone or Android device. Call now or order now and use the order promo code Bonhomme de Neige, that's French for helpful snowman, and you will save absolutely nothing on your order. So go now and find OtterBox, a local company. And you'll never know whose digital footprints are these.
So OtterBox,
that's right,
is our sponsor.
They don't seem to know that yet.
Except,
but
yeah, so there won't be any money coming from that.
Yeah, well, I think the last person had $2.
Uh-huh.
But I'm skeptical that $2, well, maybe that $2 was raised for something. So maybe this is just a category where I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, it was still, it was an ad.
It was an ad.
It was an ad.
Right.
I didn't actually make the money.
No.
But, you know, I'm not all about the Benjamins.
You didn't make the money yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. So let's just do a quick recap.
Okay.
We had your songs.
Yes.
We had your Psycho Killer remake.
Right.
And your classic theme song.
That's
which
right.
Which is a strong entry based on history alone.
140-1. That's all I'm going to say.
We had your OtterBox commercial.
OtterBox commercial, which didn't make very much money. Granted, the other ad made $2, but $2 is not a lot of money.
Okay. We had your recommendation, where you specifically recommended Roseanne Games.
Yes.
As an appeal.
Yep.
Dramatic reading. We had a post that generated some discussion.
Yep.
And we had your topic,
uh-huh,
which was my top films of 2014.
The five films Peter saw in 2014.
Five movies that I was pretty sure I saw in 2014.
And you were not so drunk you didn't remember them. Well, except for the mirror one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wasn't drunk that one. I think I drove us.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I remember the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
There was a scary haunted mirror.
Yeah.
What else? What's the no?
That's really all you need.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you need to add? Is this your official culmination of...
I think this is my entry. I feel like it's a pretty solid entry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I win in every category, but I think if you look holistically, I did pretty well.
Okay.
But on the other hand, if it is every category, I destroyed in the theme song. I tried twice with the recommendation. The other person gave up right away.
Mm-hmm.
My dramatic reading was thought-provoking and generating. We had a topic that reflected upon the year. So, yeah, my commercial didn't bring in as much money, but this isn't like a race where it's about getting to the end. It's about doing events well. So even if you don't think I did well overall, I won 4 out of 5 events at least.
Mm.
And how do you say someone wins one event and then wins the whole contest? You don't win 20% of the rounds in boxing and then win. If you knock someone out in one round, that's the only round that counts. And I think I knocked out the other person. On the mat. Done. No TKO. Just KO.
Bam. That was some Don King shit.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you for participating.
Thank you.
For being 50% of our entries.
That's right. The best 50%. The top 50%.
And, you know, we will, of course, stay to our word and let the 1, 2, 3, 4 days remaining to enter this contest live.
Yep.
If anyone wants to enter in the next 4 days, let me know fucking soon. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.